好，弟兄姊妹，我们再翻到马太福音的第二十四章。
Brothers and sisters, let's turn to Matthew 24.
马太福音的二十四章的三十二到三十三节。
Matthew 24:32-33.
呀，马太福音二十四章三十二到三十三节。
Matthew 24:32-33.
你们可以从无花果树学个比方。当树枝发嫩长叶的时候，你们就知道夏天近了。这样你们看见这一切的事，也该知道人子近了，正在门口了。
Now learn this parable from the fig tree. Where its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors.
上一次我想我提到从无花果树学个比方。
Last time I mentioned that we would learn this parable from the fig tree.
回去之后家里面有人问我说你还会继续讲这个吗？
And when I went home, a family member asked me, are you still going to continue on this topic?
对，我当时第一个反应是说我不会再讲了。
At that time, my reaction is, I would not continue on this.
其实上一次当我好像觉得要用一个方式讲从无花果树学个比方，其实我心里面是很挣扎的。
Last time, actually, when I was thinking about this, there was a struggle in my heart.
我怕我只是纯粹讲一些以色列人的故事而已。
I don't want to just be talking about the stories about the Israelites.
但是只有故事，但是却没有属灵的建造。
That it would only be a story, but there's no spiritual building.
对，其实我在主面前也寻求了很久。
And I've been searching on the Lord for so long.
对，后来就好像比较知道主是怎么带领的，所以我就有了一点交通。
And then later on, I see this leading of the Lord, and so I kind of know what to share on.
对，之前我提到说以色列人曾经被灭国过两次。
I mentioned before that Israel was faced destruction twice before.
然后我提到了对从以色列人我们学了三方面的比方。
And I said that we learned three examples from the Israelites.
所以第一个是当他们远离神的时候呢，他们就进到一个咒诅跟衰败的里面。
And so when they become far from the Lord, they enter into a curse and also decline.
所以这个给我们一个警戒，就告诉我们说我们不能够远离主的。
And so this is a warning to us that we should not go far from the Lord.
对，我们不要跑到好像去敬拜外邦的神。
We cannot go and worship idols of the other land.
对，第二个方面是讲到神的选召是没有后悔的。
The second thing is that the calling election of the Lord is irrevocable.
所以在他们好像第二次灭国将近两千年之后。
And so 2000 years after their destruction.
所以他们再次回到那个以色列地1948年他们重新复国。
In 1948, the nation of Israel was restored and they went back to the land.
这里我们学到一个比方，他们希望有自己的国家。
We see here an example that they want to have their own country.
也就是说我们是否对神的国度有一个爱慕。
So, do we have a love for God's kingdom?
然后第三个方面我讲到说很多的以色列人在二十世纪的时候他们一直纷纷的回到那个地方。
And the third aspect was, in the 20th century, the Jewish people from many lands returned back to their homeland.
对，他们觉得世界上其他的地方这不是我的家。
They feel that the other places in the world is not my home.
所以他们愿意付上许多最大的代价要回到神所应许的地方。
And so they paid a great price to return to the promised land.
所以这边给我们一个比方是说我们是否 因着爱慕神的国度，我们有一个愿意的心，我们付上所有的代价，都是为着神的国。
So this gives us an example. Do we love God's kingdom so much that we're willing to pay any price for the kingdom?
所以当我们在去看一下这些以色列人的故事的时候，的的确确他在人类历史里面有很多特别的地方。
And so when we look back on the story of the Israelites, we see there are many aspects that are very special.
所以当我以前对这些事情开始有兴趣的时候，
And so in the past, when I start to have interest in these things,
对，我也提醒我自己说，我的目的不是因为好奇。
I warned myself and said, this is not just out of curiosity.
但是那个时候我的确觉得，哇，神的预言真的是非常的他立定在天，必定成就。
And at that time, I see that it's true that the prophecy of God, like anything that He has this ordained, will come true.
所以当时的确对我有一些帮助，是觉得哇，神的话语真的是太奇妙了。
And so what it helped me with is like God's word is amazing.
他借着这个以色列的历史来印证，这是神的话。
Through the history of the Israelites, it proves that God's word is true.
然后接着是以色列的历史呢，我们看见神他真的在人的当中做事情的。
And through the history of the Israelites, we see that God indeed do His work in history.
对，慢慢，但是慢慢直到今天，我觉得有一个更重要的事情。
But then up till today, I feel there is something even more important.
我们能够从他们的故事里面学到一些比方。
That from their stories, we can learn certain examples.
我们能够被激励，然后能够继续的来追求，要来认识主。
And that we would be constrained and encouraged to really pursue the Lord.
对，虽然我开头说时候说我原本没有继续要讲这个题目的。
Although at the start I said I didn't plan to continue on this topic.
但是我的的确确还有一个方面还没有提到。
But truly, there is one aspect that I have not mentioned last time.
也就是说，以色列人呢，他们是在为着弥赛亚的到来一直在做准备。
Because truly, the Israelites are still waiting and preparing for the coming of the Messiah.
但对我们来讲，这个比方是说，他们还不懂得主耶稣已经来了。
To us, this example shows us that they have not, they do not know that the Lord has already come before.
但是对我们来讲，我们知道主耶稣已经来，但是我们是在等候主的再来。
But for us, we know that the Lord had come already, but we're waiting for His coming again.
对，本来我有好几个方面想要交通的。
At first, there were different aspects that I want to share with you.
但准备的时候，我只今天可能只能够交通两个方面。
But during my preparation, I think I can only speak on one or two aspects of them.
我觉得哈，等候主比较不像是我们准备那个 final exam， 准备那个期末考。
When we talk about preparing for the Lord's return, it's not like preparing for a final exam.
就是说，当我们在学校考试的时候，它有一个特定的范围，我们就好好用力去准备它。
In the school, when you're preparing for a final exam, there's a limited area that you need to be prepared for.
等候主再来，好像比较像是要考路考的驾照。
But preparing for the Lord's return is more like taking a driver's exam.
也就是说，在平常练习的时候就会去会开车。
It means like, you know, on an ordinary day, you would have to know how to drive in the car.
对，开车的时候你就要去熟悉车子的性能，还有路上的状况。
You need to be familiar with the car itself and also the condition in the road.
那很多时候基本上你的转弯啦、停车啦，你就平常就在那边已经在熟悉这些练习了。
You have to be familiar with taking a turn in the road or stopping and all those kind of things.
当然有时候你可能需要加强一下什么 parallel parking， 那稍微有点加强。
Well, maybe you need to practice even more on how to parallel park.
但是整体上来讲，就是说，它是像一个开车的习惯跟一个普遍性的一个练习。
But more so, it is, you know, knowing the general driving, you know, how to do that and those kind of practice.
所以今天我讲的这两个点哦，其实也是蛮基本的。
So these two things that I mentioned is very foundational.
我们读一下启示录的十二章。
Let's read Revelation 12.
十二章的十跟十一节。
Verses 10 and 11.
启示录十二章十跟十一，我听见在天上有大声音说：“我神的救恩能力、国度，并他基督的权柄，现在都来到了。因为那在我们神面前昼夜控告我们弟兄的，已经被摔下去了。弟兄胜过他，是因羔羊的血和自己所见证的道。他们虽至于死，也不爱惜性命。”
Revelation 12:10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death."
对，这个事情哈，是发生在得胜者被提的时候。
This thing happened when the overcomers were raptured. When the overcomers were raptured, in the air there was a battle.
然后天使，原本在天空那个魔鬼呢，他被打败。
And the devil in the air was defeated.
然后就被摔到地上。
And Satan is cast down to the earth.
然后这边讲到得胜者的这些弟兄们有一些的秘诀。
And here it talks about the secret about the overcomers, the brethren.
但如果从一个文字上来看，我们可以看到三个方面。
When we look at the words here, we can see three aspects.
他讲到羔羊的血。
First is the blood of the lamb.
讲到自己所见证的道。
The second is the word of their testimony.
讲到虽至于死也不爱惜性命。
And they did not love their lives to the death.
但是如果从文字上来讲，可以把它缩小一点，变成两个点。
From the word here, we could just condense it into two aspects.
也就是说，弟兄们胜过，能够得胜。
So the brethren, they can overcome.
它有两个 reason. 它 for the reason 就是第一个原因是羔羊的血。
There are two reasons for their overcoming. The first is the blood of the Lamb.
第二个原因呢，是连在一起的，所见证的道，然后他们为着所见证的道，也不爱惜性命。
And then the second reason is, by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives to the death.
所以我想今天借着这个无花果树的比方，要交通这两个方面的点。
And so through the parable of the fig tree, I want to share on these two aspects.
也就是羔羊的血，还有弟兄们所见证的那个道。
That is the blood of the lamb and the word of their testimony.
我们再看一处的圣经，好，是《帖撒罗尼迦后书》第二章。
Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2.
帖撒罗尼迦后书第二章三跟四节。
2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
对，跟就是照着我的理解呢，那个这个事情呢，是讲到当撒旦那个大罪人被扔到地上的时候。
Based on my own understanding, this happened when Satan was cast down to the earth.
对，当他被扔到地上的时候呢，有大灾难要发生。
When he was cast down to the earth, great tribulation will happen.
然后同时呢，这个好像这个大罪人呢，其实是撒旦的化身哈，他要高抬自己，称自己为神。
And at the same time, this man of sin, who's really the back of him is Satan, he will be revealed.
他甚至要进到那个神的殿里面，然后高抬自己。
In fact, he will enter into the temple and he will exalt himself.
所以这边的有一个意思就是说，很有可能在末世的时代来临之前呢，神的殿要重新被建造起来。
And so that's why, very possibly, when it's at the very end, the temple of God will be revealed.
对，过去已经有两座圣殿了，一个是所罗门盖的。
We know that there were two temples. One was built by Solomon.
对，一个是那个回归的那名像所罗巴伯他们盖的。
The second was when the remnants returned, built by Zerubbabel.
对，这两个都已经毁掉了。
Well, these two temples have been destroyed.
然后一块石头都没有在另外一块石头上。
And there's not one stone above the other.
但很有可能在不久的未来呢，会有第三座圣殿要在同个地方被盖起来。
But very possibly in the near future, a third temple will be rebuilt in the same place.
对，我知道我们年长的江弟兄他会觉得下一件事情是得胜者被提。
I know that our brother Kong feels that the next important event is the overcomers will be raptured.
对，有时候我自己在想哈，有没有可能那个神的那个圣殿他会先盖起来的？
And then sometimes I think, is it possible that the temple will first be rebuilt?
对，如果哪一天你真的看见那个圣殿在以色列耶路撒冷重新盖起来的话，我们要好好小心了。
On that day, when you see that the third temple is rebuilt, you have to be very careful.
因为主来的日子是非常非常非常近。
Because the day of the return of the Lord is even closer.
好，那个我share一下 screen。对，这个事情啊，我对以色列人的这个理解，或者说兴趣，起源于在1997年。
My interest and concern about the Jewish people start in 1997.
对，那个时候我是学生啊。
At that time, I was still a student.
我已经信主三年了。
And I have been a believer for 3 years.
信徒造就我应该是读过应该三分之二吧。
And I probably read 2/3 of the basic foundational principle.
当中有一篇他有讲到一个动物叫做红母牛。
And in one of the chapters it speaks of the red heifer.
所以我对这个红母牛的圣经是有一个印象。
And so I do have an impression of the Bible verses that talk about the red heifer.
那时候我订了一个杂志叫 Newsweek.
At that time, I subscribed to Newsweek.
叫做新闻周刊吗？新闻周刊 Newsweek.
Newsweek.
然后在1997年5月的时候，我收到那期的那个 magazine 那个杂志。
And in May of 97, I got this copy of Newsweek.
Yeah. 然后它里面有一篇有一页啊，它讲说以色列的红母牛的一个事情。
And it speaks on this red heifer of the Israelites.
对，我就有兴趣就把它读了一下。
And so I was interested, and so I read that article.
在我往下之前呢，我们读一下圣经。
So let's read the Bible first.
我们翻到希伯来书的第9章。
So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9.
希伯来书的第九章十二到十四节。
From verses 12 to 14.
希伯来书第九章十二到十四，并且不用山羊和牛犊的血，乃用自己的血，只一次进入圣所，成了永远赎罪的事。若山羊和公牛的血，并母牛犊的灰，洒在不洁的人身上，不洁的人身上，尚且叫人成圣，身体洁净，何况基督借着永远的灵，将自己无瑕无疵献给神，他的血岂不更能洗净你们的心，除去你们的死刑，使你们侍奉那永生神吗？
Hebrews 9:12-14. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats, and the ashes of a heifer,sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serving the living God?
他这边讲到赎罪的事情的时候，他提到山羊或公牛的血，这我们可能比较熟悉。
Here when it mentioned about the sanctifying for the purifying of the flesh, it talks about the blood of bulls and goats, which we're more familiar with.
那这边还提到一个事情是母牛犊的灰。
But then it also mentioned here the ashes of a heifer.
那这几件事情它合并在一起呢，它是预表主耶稣他自己。
But all these things put together is to typify Christ.
对，它预表主耶稣他自己，他用他的血呢成了一次献上，就成了永远的赎罪祭。
Typifying Christ who offered his blood, and through that, he is the one and eternal sacrifice.
然后第十四节，他的意思是说，他的血呢，能够洗净、洁净我们的良心。
And it talks about the blood being able to clean our conscience.
也就是说，他这个赎罪带进一个效果效呢？是我们能够有一个清洁的良心。
So this removal of sin brings in this cleansing of our conscience.
然后这个红母牛的灰呢，是记载在民数记的第十九章。
And the ashes of heifer is recorded in Numbers 9.
对，民数记的，我们翻到民数记第十九章。
Let's turn to Numbers 19. Sorry.
Yeah.我们念一下民数记十九章的一到九节。
Numbers 19 verses 1 to 9.
民数记十九章一到九，耶和华晓谕摩西亚伦说，耶和华命定律法中的一条律例，乃是这样说，你要吩咐以色列人把一只没有残疾、未曾负轭、纯红的母牛牵到你这里来，交给祭司以利亚撒，他必牵到营外，人就把牛宰在他面前，祭司以利亚撒要用指头沾这牛的血，向会幕前面弹七次，人要在他眼前把这母牛焚烧，牛的皮肉血分都要焚烧，祭司要把香柏木、牛膝草、朱红色线都丢在烧牛的火中，祭司必不洁净到晚上，要洗衣服，用水洗身，然后可以进营。烧牛的人必不洁净到晚上，也要洗衣服，用水洗身，必有一个洁净的人收拾母牛的灰，存在营外洁净的地方，为以色列会众调作除污秽的水。这本是除罪的。我们念到这里。
Numbers 19:1-9. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, Speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, and in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, and he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger, and sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle of meeting.Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its hide, its flesh, its blood, and its offal shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst of the fire burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes. He shall bathe in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. The priest shall be unclean until evening, and the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place, and they shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for the water of purification. It is for the purifying from sin.
对，我后面就没有念了哈。
And I did not read the next part.
Yeah, 所以他这边有一个红母牛，很特别，他就是把它烧掉，把它灰要收起来。
And so this is very special. There is a red heifer. They burn it, and then they kept the ashes.
然后倒上那个活水，把它调成一个除污秽的水。
And they mix it with living water, and so that's water for purification.
对，他后面讲到一些用途的时候，特别是一些人啊、接触到死亡的时候、死尸的时候，它可以被洁净。
And it mentioned below the verses below that when a person touch a dead animal, they can be purified by this water.
对，可能是死掉的动物，也可能是死掉的人。
It could be a dead animal or a dead person.
所以我刚刚提到，在1997年我收到这个杂志。
So, in May of 1997, when I got this Newsweek magazine.
然后我上网，它还那个内容还在。
I went back to the website and the article is still there.
对，但是它当时附的那个照片，我现在找不到了。
But the actual picture that I saw was not there anymore.
它里面是说啊，在去年的时候呢，就1997年，去年就1996年的时候呢，在以色列北方一个很普通的农场里面，有一个红母牛出生了。
It said that in 1996, a red heifer was born.
他们给他一个名字叫 Melody。
And they gave the heifer a name Melody.
我是这次回去看的时候才知道是叫 Melody.
It's only this time when I look at it again that I realize they call the heifer Melody.
然后很多的犹太人他们是相信说，自从第一世纪第二个圣殿被毁了之后
they said for many Jews they believe that in the first century when the second temple was destroyed.
这是第一次有红母牛在以色列这个地方开始出生的。
This is the first time that a red heifer was ever discovered.
所以对一些那个 Orthodox 就是一些正统的犹太人来讲，他们觉得哇，这是一个很大的一个神迹，也是一个 sign， 也是一个记号。
But and so for the Orthodox Jew, for them, this is such a great miracle and is also a sign.
所以在他们感觉来讲，好像这是一个预兆，是那个弥赛亚可能要快来了。
So this is a foreshadowing that the Messiah is coming.
但对他们来讲，他们一定要在弥赛亚来之前要把第三个圣殿把它建起来。
And then for them, they have to build the third temple before the coming of the Messiah.
如果这只红母牛给这些犹太人很大的这个激励、激动的话，
And so if this red heifer gives them a lot of stirring and motivation,
它就造成了特别是 Muslim， 就是那个伊斯兰教那边的人的紧张了。
And so it created a lot of worry among the Muslims.
为什么呢？因为如果你要建第三座圣殿的话，你要先把圣殿山的那个清真寺把它拆掉。
Because if you want to build the third temple, you have to first take away that mosque which is on that temple mount.
如果你敢做这个事情的话，那绝对避免不了是有个战争的。
And if you want to do this thing, you cannot avoid a war.
对，也就是说，这个是圣殿山的照片。
And that is the picture, of the Temple Mount.
在那个第一世纪的时候，它已经被夷平了，因为那个第二座圣殿已经被拆毁了。
In the first century, it has already been leveled because, the temple was destroyed.
到了五六百年之后，其实那时候那边已经很荒凉了。
And after 500-600 years, that
place was doubtfully.
对，有很多那个穆斯林的人移民到那个地方。
There were a lot of Muslims who migrated to that place.
对，他们在那个原本的圣殿山上面呢，盖了一座清真寺。
And that's why they built a mosque on top of that Temple Mount.
对，直到今天。
And it has lasted up till today.
所以这是一个很大的一个困难，其实以色列人是没有办法盖第三座圣殿。
And so this is a great difficulty for the Israelites because they cannot build the third temple there.
但是根据神的话语上的预言，这件事情应该会要发生的。
But then according to the prophecy of the Bible, this event will probably happen.
只是我们不晓得要怎么发生。
We just don't know how it will happen.
对，我记得当美国总统克林顿在的时候。
So when President Clinton was still president,
对，那个时候他好像建议要在另外一个地方盖那个圣殿，可是以色列人是不肯的。
He suggested that the temple can be built on another place, but of course the Israelites are not going to take that.
所以这个那个红母牛 Melody 呢，产生了一些的紧张。
And so this red heifer Melody created a lot of tension.
他们根据以色列人他们的认识，在以色列的历史当中曾经有过九只的红母牛。
According to their history, there were probably 9 red heifers.
应该说有九只被用到的红母牛。
So, 9 red heifers had been used in their history.
对，原本的圣经的意思是说，只要一只，就那个灰就用到永永远远。
The original intention was that 1 red heifer's ash can be used forever.
不，那是它的意义，但是不可能的，因为灰总会用完的。
Of course, that was the idea, but of course, that's not possible because the ashes will be, used up.
但在以色列历史里面，总共就只用过九只，它连续用了九只。
And so, in the history of the Israelites, continuously, there were 9 heifers that were used.
所以现在这些正统的犹太人，他们在等那个第十头的红母牛。
And so these Orthodox Jews are waiting for the 10th heifer.
所以他们就用了一些农场在那个专门培养红母牛。
And so they use this farm to be able to propagate red heifer.
然后呢，这个拉比呢要仔细的检查红母牛。
And the rabbi has to examine to this red heifer.
因为红母牛根据他们的规定，红母牛上面不可以有任何的瑕疵。
Because there should be no blemish in this red heifer.
所以那个 Melody 后来他在长大了，在过了一年之后。
So, this Melody after a year of growth.
他们一检查，耳朵上有一根白毛。
Then they found out there's a white fur on the ear of Melody.
不合格。
So then she's not qualified.
所以暂时把那个紧张的情绪把它剪下来。
And so that brought down the tension.
但是这些那个犹太人他们其实一直都在培养的。
But then they're always propagating the red heifer.
所以前两天我去查了一下。
And so I went and researched again today.
这个是一个拉比。
This is a rabbi.
他在根据他们的解释
，According to their explanation，
如果你要宰杀红母牛的话，要在一个洁净的地方。
If you want to kill this heifer, you have to be in a purified place。
那洁净地方的定义呢？是第一个要在橄榄山。
And this place has to be in the Mount of Olives。
第二个，这个地方要能够看见圣殿山。
And you have to be able to see the Temple Mount from this place.
所以他找到了一块合这个条件的地方。
And he also found this specific place that meet this condition.
12年前他把那块地方买下来了。
And 12 years ago, he bought this place.
然后再配合这些要培养红母牛的那个农场。
And then in cooperation with the farms that are propagating the red heifer.
但如果你要宰杀红母牛的话，你必须要有祭司。
And if you want to kill this heifer, you need to have priests.
根据他的说法呢，这个祭司也要是一种洁净的祭司。
And this priest has to be a purified priest.
不可以接触过曾经放过死人的地方。
This priest cannot have ever been to a place that has death.
所以他说他已经准备好九个立位人。
And so he has prepared 12 Levites.
啊，这九个立位人呢，不能够在医院出生。
These 12 Levites cannot be born in the hospital.
因为医院里面可能会死人嘛。
Because, you know, in the hospital, you will have dead people.
所以这九个立位人全部是在家里面接生的。
So all these 9 Levites were born at home.
那从小到大，他们都没有接触任何的死亡的东西。
And from youth up to grown up, they have never encountered death.
根据他们的计划。
And according to this plan,
他们希望在明年2024年的逾越节。
They want to, for next year, 2024, on the Passover,
就在他现在这个图片上所站的这个地方。
On the place where he's standing in the picture,
他要有一个宰杀红母牛的 ceremony。
He will have this ceremony of killing the red heifer.
这是他们目前的计划。
This is the plan.
好，这个故事先讲完到这里。
So we'll stop the story here.
这个红母牛有一些意义在里面。
There's a meaning to this red heifer.
就说它是我们一个信主的一个普遍的一个根基。
This is a foundation.A general foundation of us who believe in the Lord.
第一个哈，他十九章第六节的时候，他说这个香柏木牛七草朱红色，都丢在烧牛的火里面。
For example, in verse 6, it says, "And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer."
这什么意思啊
？What does this mean?
因为这个香柏木一直到牛七草，其实代表那个全世界。
The cedar wood and the hyssop represent the whole world.
这个以前那个所罗门很有智慧的时候，他谈论事情，他就说：“你香柏木到牛七草。”
When we talk about how wise Solomon is, he can speak of from the cedar to the hyssop.
所以他这边代表全世界，然后那个朱红色代表那个罪。
Now the scarlet represents the sin.
也就是说，全世界所有的罪。没有任何的例外，都一同烧在这个牛里面。
And so the sin of the whole world, no exception, are burned in this heifer.
所以弟兄姊妹，我们任何的人，你过去犯的罪，或是你所有一生犯的罪，全部都烧在这个里面。
So the your sin before all your sin are all burned in here.
然后第二个，它是为着所有人的。
And this is for all people.
对，第十九章第九节，他说为所有以色列会众，是为着所有的以色列人的。
So here in the verse 9, it says it's for the congregation of the children of Israel. So it's for all people.
所以弟兄姊妹，他这个今天我们学个比方哈，我们要活在这个红母牛灰的意义的里面。
So when we look at this example, we have to live in the example of the red heifer.
也就是说基督徒的成长要有这个根基。
So the growth of the Christian has to have this as the foundation.
基督徒不管你在传福音在生活在服事都有这个根基。
Whether you are living or you're serving, you have to have this foundation.
那这个根基是什么？
And now what is this foundation based on?
这根基就是我们主耶稣的血呢已经洗净了我们一切的罪。
It is that the blood of the Lord has cleansed all our sins.
那当我在读的时候，我在想，为什么跟这个死亡的尸体有关系
？Then I was thinking, how is it related to a dead body?
我自己一点的理解是说，那个死亡可能是神眼中当时在那个以色列时代神眼中最不洁净的一种情况。
And then I kind of understand that death.Is the most impure, most defiled thing at that time.
对，你可以可能犯很多不同的罪。
You could be sinning different types of sin.
那这边或是接触很多不洁净的什么鸟啦、走兽啦。
Or you could be in touch with any unclean things.
对，那但这边有一个最不洁净的东西，叫做死亡的尸体。
But the most unclean and defiled thing is the dead body.
所以在这个最不洁净的这个事物当中，这个红母牛的灰都有功效。
And so the ash of the red heifer is even effective for the most defiled thing, which is a dead body.
所以弟兄姊妹，我们要知道说，来到主的面前，我们犯的所有的罪，就是最厉害的罪，主的宝血都有功效。
So we have to realize that the most or the worst sin that we have committed, the blood can still deal with it.
对，有的时候我们可能会觉得这个真理还挺基本的。
Sometimes we think, oh, this truth is so foundational.
但是你会发现，这是得胜者他们得胜的一个很重要的秘诀。
But then you discover that it's just a very important secret for the overcomers.
也就是说，这些得胜者就照着尼养弟兄的意思，他的那个领会，就得胜者他们是大量的去使用羔羊的宝血。
So our elder brother tells us that the overcomers really use this blood, you know, in a great way.
对，为什么呢？因为他们认识赎罪祭，他们认识红母牛灰的意义。
Because they know the propitiation, they know the meaning of the red heifer.
对，他们只要有亏欠神，只要得罪主的地方，只要觉得良心里面有不平安的时候，他们就来取用主耶稣的宝血。
So anytime they offended the Lord and their conscience is not clear, they use the blood of the lamb and come to the Lord.
对，以前有一些福音朋友或者刚信主的弟兄姊妹会问这个问题。
Sometimes our gospel friends or new believers will ask this question.
对，我今天我信主了。
Now I'm a believer.
然后我还蛮可以领会说，可以理解说，我过去犯的罪，主都赦免了。
And I can understand that my past sins have been forgiven.
然后他就问一个问题，那我以后要继续犯罪，那怎么办？
And then they will ask,What if I sin in the future? What's going to happen?
不用担心。
Well, don't worry about that.
因为红母牛的灰也是为着将来所犯的罪所预备来用的。
Because the ashes of the red heifer is also prepared for the future sin.
所以他把这个灰存起来。
And that's why they kept this ashes.
然后以后未来呢，有人有不洁净。
And so in the future, if there are any who become unclean,
他就取用过来呢，就洁净，把它洁净。
Then they use this water purification to purify them.
所以弟兄姊妹，我们信主有一个很宝贵的根基。
So we have such precious foundation for us believers.
我们过去所犯的罪，今天所犯的罪，还有未来所有犯要一生要犯的罪。
The sin that we have committed in the past, in the present, and in the future.
主耶稣都已经考虑到了。
The Lord has already.Thought about all of that.
对，我们的救恩已经 cover， 已经完全就我们的蒙神的赦免，这是完全 cover 一生所犯的这亏欠。
Because the forgiveness of the Lord has covered all this.
所以，然后另外一个灰的它的特点呢，是它不会再改变了。
Another feature of this ash is it's not going to change.
也就是说，在圣经的概念里面。所有物质它最后的形态叫做灰。
From the Bible's perspective, everything, every material thing, at the end of it is ash.
那就所有的东西可能会腐烂啦，可能会变化啦，但是灰就不会再变了。
So anything will corrupt, will decay.But when it gets to the state of the ashes, it will no longer change.
所以这边给我们一个确据哈，就是我刚才所交通的这所有的那个赎罪的应许呢，是不会再改变了。
And so this gives us an assurance. All that I have shared about the forgiveness of sin, it will never change.
主做了一次，它就永远有功效。
Because the Lord do it once, and it's effective forever.
所以弟兄姊妹，我们在任何的情形底下，一定要记得主的血永远大过我们的罪犯。
And so in any circumstance, we have to remember that the blood of the Lamb is greater than any sin.
他的血能够洁净、洗净我们的良心。
And the blood can cleanse our conscience. That we will have a clean and pure conscience.
然后在圣经里面有讲到一种叫做软弱，就是 weak and defiled，就是软弱跟污秽的良心。
The Bible mentioned that there is such a thing as a defiled or a weak conscience.
所以弟兄姊妹，我们不能够被撒旦控告。
We cannot be accused by Satan.
对，有谁能够控告神所拣选的人呢？
Who can accuse those who are elected by God?
请我们记得好，当我们取用主耶稣的宝血的时候，
When we use the blood of our Lord,
他的赦免是100%。
His forgiveness is 100%.
如果在你的良心里面，如果只有99%的话， 这个都是不洁净的良心。
If in your conscience it's only 99%, this is not a clear conscience.
它能够叫我们里面良心完完全全的清洁。
Because the blood of the Lamb lets our conscience be 100% pure.
我们能够坦然无惧的，没有那种亏欠的良心来到主的面前。
And we can come boldly without shame to the Lord.
弟兄姊妹，这是一个我们生活 在活在主面前的一个很重要的根基。
And this is a very important foundation in our living before the Lord.
但我今天并没有谈到说后续要怎么办，就是以后如果犯罪要怎么去胜过罪，那是下一步。
Of course, today I'm not talking about how do you overcome sin. That's the next step.
但至少我们要抓住这个红母牛的规则意义，我们才有办法继续往后能够脱离罪的捆绑。
But we need to grab onto the truth of this red heifer, so then we can talk about getting out of the bondage of sin.
对，第二个部分，我想要讲到那个希伯来的语言的方面的事情。
The second part, I want to talk about the Hebrew language.
这件事情也是很奇妙。
This is also a very amazing thing.
从这个角度，我们可以学一个比方，就是神的话语。 要在神的活的话语要在我们当中恢复的。
In this example, we have to learn that we want to restore the power of the living word amongst us.
在那个旧约的圣经呢，它绝大部分写下来的文字是希伯来文。
In the Bible, the Old Testament is mostly written in Hebrew.
然后少部分叫做亚兰文。
And a small part is written in Aramaic.
然后在新约的圣经，它写下来的是希腊文。
In the New Testament, it's mostly in Greek.
有人去试着去猜想，当年主耶稣他在的时候，他是用什么语言去讲话？
Some people do this research that when the Lord was on earth, what language did he use?
大部分的人都，就大部分圣经学者都觉得，主耶稣应该当时是用那个通用的叫做亚兰文。
Most scholars feel that the Lord used the common language, which is Aramaic.
也就是说，在公元第一世纪的时候，那时候啊，希伯来文已经那个语言已经不流行了。
Because in the first century AD, Hebrew is no longer commonly used.
那个时代呢？ 希伯来文本身呢，主要就是可能那些这个拉比他们去读圣经的时候认得。At
that time, mostly it's the rabbis who read the scriptures who knows that language.
然后他们在彼此讨论圣经的时候，可能用一点希伯来那个话。
Or when they're discussing the scripture, they would use the Hebrew language.
但普通的老百姓已经不再讲希伯来语了。But
the common people no longer use Hebrew as a language for conversation.
对，我很快介绍一下，这个都是我这礼拜查的，我以前没有在花很多时间在这方面。这个是死海古卷。
This is from my research this week. This is the Dead Sea Scroll.
这是在20世纪一个很大的一个考古的发现。
This is a great discovery in the 20th century archaeology.
他们发现一些是在公元元年之前一段时间的一个一些的羊皮卷。
They discovered some things of like the lambskins.
Yeah. 里面有比较完整的以赛亚书。
Mostly it's a more completed version of the book of Isaiah.
这些网络上都可以查得到，他们都已经把它全部扫描下来了。
And they have all scanned this, and you can see them in the website.
然后这个是我现在秀给我现在这个图片是以赛亚书的前面的部分。
And this particular picture is the first portion of the book of Isaiah.
希伯来文呢是从右到左。
The Hebrew language is written from right to left.
然后这个是那个以赛亚书的第一节的一部分。
And this is part of the first verse of the book of Isaiah.
所以他写的方式是从右边到左边。
And so it's written from right to left.
其实这个对不起啊，这边只有中文。它的第一个字是那个vision， 就是意象的意思。
The first word is vision.
然后第二个字是以赛亚。
The second word is Isaiah.
第三跟第四个字是连在一起，是亚摩斯的儿子。
The third and fourth word is son of Amos.
所以也就是说这个古卷上第一个字是那个意象 vision.
So the first word is vision.
然后第二个字在这边是以赛亚。
Second word is Isaiah.
然后第三个字是亚摩斯的儿子。
The third word is son of Amos.
也就是说我们今天读的圣经跟古代的时候以色列人的希伯来圣经基本上是一样的。
So the Bible that we read today is the same as the version that they were reading in the ancient time.
好，我现在要讲到那个就近代的事情了。
Now I want to talk about things that are happening in more recent days.
我上次有提到说有一批那个锡安运动的人，他们要回到以色列来复国。
Last time I mentioned that there are people in the Zionist movement who want to go back to the promised land and rebuild the nation.
然后这件事情正是发生是在1948年。
And this thing happened in 1948.
但是在这个事情之前呢，已经陆陆续续有各地的一些的犹太人移民到那个地方了。
But even prior to that, there were already Jews migrating to that land.
我刚刚讲到哈，那个希伯来文或希伯来语，基本上他们称它叫 dead language， 就是已经死亡的语言。
Basically, the Hebrew language is considered a dead language.
死亡语言的定义是说，已经是全世界已经连一个把它当做 native language， 就是第一个 first language， 已经没有人了。
The way they define dead language is there's no one who use it as a first language.
对，可能有一些那个拉比，他们读圣经的时候，他们是 second language 或 third language， 他们懂得希伯来文。
So it is possible there are rabbi who know the Hebrew language, but it's their second or their third language.
在18多年的时候，有一个这个犹太人叫 Eliezer Ben Yehuda. 对、OK.
So in the 18 something, there's a person.Eliezer Ben Yehuda.
对，这个犹太人他是出生在东欧。
He was born in Eastern Europe.
对，小时候呢，有老师就是给他学了一点希伯来文。
And he was taught a little bit of Hebrew when he was very young.
然后，所以他有时候看到说，哎呀，这边有一个犹太人是讲这个德语。
And so he found out that, okay, he saw some Jews speaking in German.
然后另外有一个犹太人是讲阿拉伯语。
Another Jew is speaking in Arabic language.
然后当他们讨论圣经的时候呢，他们就回到一种古老的希伯来语里面沟通。
But then when they talk about the scripture, they would use a very ancient language, which is the Hebrew language.
所以他从小就有一个很重的负担。
And so, even at a young age, he has a great burden.
对，犹太人需要有一个自己共同的语言。
The Jewish people need a common language.
所以呢，他后来在1881年的时候移民到那个以色列地。
And so, in 1881, he migrated to the land of Israel.
他 他开头的时候呢，我看他是怎么写。对，他开头的时候呢，就是跟朋友还有他太太说，我们平常要用希伯来话来讲话。
And so at the beginning, he said to his wife and a couple of friends that, you know, we should be conversing in the Hebrew language.
然后呢，希望他希望慢慢能够整个犹太人呢，能够有一个统一的语言。
And he really hoped that gradually the Jewish people will have a common language.
当时他在推动的时候，他有三个很大的障碍。
And so when he was starting this movement, he had three big obstacles.
对，那时候锡安运动的领袖呢，希望用德语。
At that time, the head of the Zionist movement wanted to use German as the common language.
对，他说这个德语才大家才会用嘛，就是你要去。 生活要去跟别人沟通的话，那时候才是一个正规的语言可以用。
He thinks that that would be a better language for people to be using on a daily basis.
然后有一些犹太人，他们有一个传统，他们用一个语言叫 Yiddish。
There are some Jews at that time using Yiddish.
那我不知道怎么念 Yiddish， 对，他这个 Yiddish 是一个。 古老的希伯来文跟德语的一个结合。The
Yiddish language is a combination of the ancient Hebrew plus German.
对，但是它大部分 70-80% 都是比较是德语。But
then about 70-80% of Yiddish is German.
所以有一些那个犹太人本身已经讲这种语言已经讲了1000年了。So
there are some Jews who have been, you know, this language has been used for like 1000 years.
然后有一些正统的犹太人说，你不可以用希伯来语。
But then some Orthodox Jews said, no, you cannot use the Hebrew language.
因为这个语言太神圣了，只能够用在读圣经的时候。
Because this language is too sacred. You can only use it when you're reading the scripture.
所以当时有很多的障碍。
And so there were so many obstacles.
然后这位这个 Ben Yehuda 呢，他愿意，他就是有这个负担，所以他。 在他儿子出生之后，就只跟他讲希伯来语。And
so, but for Ben Yehuda, he has this great burden. And so, what happened is he just speak when his son was born and growing up, he just speak to him in Hebrew.
所以这是2000年来第一个是用希伯来语作为 native language 的人。
And so he basically is the first one in 2000 years to have Hebrew as his native language.
然后这个图片是从National Geographic 来的。
Now this picture is from National Geographic.
对，国家地理杂志，它，我不晓得是不是今年的哈，这个你们自己去有兴趣再去查。他写说 Hebrew 就是希伯来语呢，已经 2000年没有人讲了。 但基本上没有人讲了，但现在是它被恢复了。So
it says that in 2000 years the Hebrew language was dead, but now it has been revived and people are using it.
然后它这边还有一个是这个，
okay.
但现在已经用在全世界几百。 上百万的人在用，并且包含中国的人在用。
And it says the religious language that lay dormant for millennia is now global, used by millions of people around the world, including in China.
我因为没有付钱订这个杂志，就是不晓得里面写什么。
I don't know the content of this article because I am not a subscriber anymore.
我在想那个 Ben Yehuda 他其实付了很多的代价。
So this person, Ben Yehuda, really paid a great price.
如果我的儿子只能够讲希伯来语，
If my son can only speak Hebrew,
但其他人都不讲，
But other people don't speak that language.
他怎么上学，他怎么去买东西，怎么生活？
How is he going to go to school? How is he going to live?
但这位 Yehuda, Ben Yehuda, 他就是有个信念说，我们必须在 语言上面有一个回到那个起初，并且有一个统一。
But then he has this burden that we have to go back to the beginning for this language, and also we need a common language.
所以弟兄姊妹，这边我们学一些比方啊。
So here we learn of this by this example.
对，我觉得我们都是重生得救的人。
We are all born again.
对，这是一个比方。我是觉得好像我们应该让神的话语成为我们的 first language， 或者成为我们的 native language。
And so we need the word of God to be our first language or our native language.
所以也就是说，当我们能够学习听神的声音。
We have to listen to God's voice.
然后我们读神的话语的时候，这些是一些活的从神来的话语。
And we have to know that when we read, we have to see the living word from God.
因为我们需要有这些真实的活的话语，我们才能够有见证的道。
Because we need the living word to have the word of testimony.
对，当这些活的话语进来的时候，我们把它活出来，我们去经历它，我们才能够见证神的话。
When the living word comes into us and we live it out, then we have the word of testimony.
然后，圣经里面许多的从神的话来的应许，许多关于神话语的应许。
There's so many promises of God that is in the Word.
比如说他讲到说，主的话是我脚前的灯，是我路上的光。
For example, it says the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
所以这个神的话语能够在我们的身上成为真实的经历。
And so the Word of God can become our real experience.
对，当我们听见那个神的那个直接的话语，或是这些借着他话语来引导我们的时候，我们经历到这些话是我们脚前的灯。
When we hear God's voice and how you use the voice to lead us, then truly His word is the light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path.
如果主的话语是生命的粮
，If the word of God is the bread of life，
对，我们是否在神的话语里面得到饱足和供应呢
？Then we should get our supply and our satisfaction from the Word of God.
啊，神的话语是两刃的剑。
If the Word of God is a two-edged sword.
对，当我们在那个肉体和那个掺杂搞不清楚的时候。
When we're in the midst of the mixture of the soul and the spirit.
对，是否有神的话进来照进我们的里面的深处。
Then there's the word of God that comes in and shine on the deepest part of our being.
对，叫我们看见，哇，原来这些是出于我自己的自私。
Then it shows us that all this is actually out of my own self-centeredness.
所以上次弟兄姊妹们的那个见证交通。
So last time the testimony and sharing of our brothers and sisters.
我非常感谢主。
I'm very thankful to the Lord.
对，也许我们不是直接说啊，是因为神的话是两刃的利剑。
Maybe we did not say specifically that the word of God is a two-edged sword.
但是当我们认识自己的本相的时候
，But when we see our true self，
其实我们很可能已经经历到神的话在我们身上是一个两刃的利剑。
Then actually we have experienced that the word of God is a two-edged sword.
啊，当然我们借着神的话，我们要跟神交通。
Of course, through the word of God, we can commune and fellowship with Him.
对，我们可以好像从里面跟向神倾心吐意。
We can tell the Lord everything that's deep in from us.
然后神的安慰或神的引导，神的那个光照是那么的活泼跟新鲜。
And the leading and the comfort and the illumination of the Lord is so fresh.
弟兄姊妹，得胜者不是一批超强的基督徒。
Now the overcomers are not super Christians.
得胜者就是我刚才讲的，他们在平常的那个生活里面就已经经历神的话语是活泼的，是新鲜的。
The overcomers are those who experience the word of God as living and fresh in their daily life.
然后在他们身上是有功效的。
And this word has effect in their life.
所以当神看到这些人的时候。
And so when the Lord see these people.
然后神说，神的感觉是说，我把我的那个宝贵的话语已经放在众神的众儿女面前。
And the Lord said, I have put my word in my people
那我把我的恩典，把那个能力，把智慧都放在我的言语的里面。
I put my grace, my strength, all in my word.
啊，今天神看到这边有人，这边有人，他是真正能够取用这个神的话语的那个大能。
And then today the Lord says, oh, I see this person, I see that person. They have used my word.
然后当他们取用的时候，他就看见说，这边有一批弟兄们，他们是有那个发表，能够发表神见证的道。
And the Lord said, here there's a group of brethren who can testify of my word.
所以但当初这个但雅胡达他没有用德语。
So at that time, Ben Yehuda did not choose German.
这个是我个人的一个感觉，一个比方。
To me, this is, personally, this is an example.
对，我们与世界是有分别的。
We are separated from the world.
对，我们不是用世界的世俗的言语。
We do not use the language of the world.
对，我们愿意有那个纯净的灵奶。
We want the pure milk of the Spirit.
我们愿意有神纯净的他的言语，然后在我们的身上。
We want the pure word of God to be in our lives.
所以，其实恢复神的话就是恢复神的原则。
When we restore the word of God, we're restoring God's principle.
那恢复神的看法。就是他的眼光在我们的身上。
Restoring God's perspective in our lives.
所以我们与世界上的那些言论、这些观点、这些思想都要有分别。
And so we want to be separated from the thoughts, the perspective, the language of this world.
有一次那个尼托森弟兄到英国。
And one time, our brother Ni went to England.
对，1938年。
And this was in 1938.
那时候第二次世界大战还没有正式开始。
At that time, the World War II has not started yet.
但是那个德国纳粹已经开始攻击欧洲的国家了。
But the Nazis have started to attack the countries in Europe.
所以当时那个英国虽然还没有开始宣战，但是英国已经开始在准备要打仗。
At that time, England has not declared war, but they are preparing for it.
不过当时英国的首相是张伯伦，他跟德国签订一个和平协约。
At that time, the leader in England signed a peace agreement.
Treaty
or agreement with Germany.
对，所以那个时候尼弟兄在英国。
And our brother Ni was in England.
他就观察这个弟兄们还有英国的情况。
And so he was observing what's happening in England and what's with the brethren.
他就用了一个比方。
And he used an example.
他说什么叫做在地上是客旅是寄居的。
He said, what does it mean to be a sojourner, a traveler here on earth?
他说原本英国人都很紧张要打仗。
The English people were so under stress to have this war.
对，当那天签订和平协约的时候呢，哇，大家都松一口气，都很高兴。
But then the day that the peace treaty was signed, everybody was so relieved.
然后尼弟兄他的一个比方是说，他觉得他这个对英国来讲当然是一个很大的事情。
And for Brother Ni, of course, he said this thing is a big thing for the English people.
但是对尼弟兄来讲，他好像一个旁观者。
But for Brother Ni, he's one just observing on the side.
就说你打也好，不，这比方哈，你们不要，千万不要误解。就你打也好，你和平也好，我好像是一个旁观的人。
See, whether it's peace or it's war, he seems to be just on the side looking at it.
所以弟兄姊妹，这个是我们对世界的一个眼光。
But this kind of perspective should be our perspective towards the world.
这一次那个以色列跟那个巴勒斯坦那边的冲突。
This currently we're seeing the conflict between the Israelites and the Palestine.
弟兄姊妹，我们要有这种类似的眼光。
Same thing, we need to have this perspective.
对，你不要被那个政治的那个观点去被影响。
We cannot be affected by that political turmoil there.
对，你不要把自己的情绪被引到这个世界上的争执里面。
Our emotion should not be pulled into this turmoil.
对，比如说，如果是有人，万一有人是for Palestine, 就是同情巴勒斯坦。
Let's say there's some people who are pro-Palestinians.
然后现在外面有一些的抗议之声援。
And they're protesting, you know, outside.
那你难道就去参加吗？
No, now are you going to join them?
然后换句话讲，就如果是支持在政治立场上支持以色列人的。
Now, if there are people who are pro-Israel politically.
然后现在也在外面去游行。
And they're also outside, you know, having a rally.
其实我是不会去参加的。
I'm not going to join them.
我在看整件事情的时候，我们是要用神的旨意来看这件事情。
Because the way I look at this thing, I'm looking at it from God's will's perspective.
这边有国家在打仗，我其实好像一个旁观的。
There are nations warring against each other. I am just...outside looking into it.
对，但这边有一些不同的地方是在神的旨意里面有这个以色列他要固定在那个他会怎么样稳固在那个地方的。
The only thing different is we know that Israel will stay there.
对，我们也希望那个地方是能够平安。
And we really hope that that land is going to be peaceful.
对，整个事情其实挺复杂的。
It is true. The whole thing is very complicated.
对，我三言两语讲不清楚。
We cannot even clearly speak about it.
因为在90年代跟2000年的时候，我常常看到新闻。
Because in the 90s and 2000, I always see news.
每两天，每几天，每隔几天，耶路撒冷就一个自杀炸弹。
Every two, three days, there's a suicide bomber in Jerusalem.
或是那个 Tel Aviv 那边就哪个车站就又有一个自杀炸弹。
Or there's another suicide bombing in Tel Aviv.
所以我可能可以理解为什么以色列人要把那个边界把封得那么死。
I can understand why they want to seal up the border.
因为它封起来之后，我就再也没听到自杀炸弹的新闻了。
Because after they seal the border, then I don't hear any news about suicide bombing from them.
但如果我是巴勒斯坦人，但我活在里面，我会觉得很辛苦。
But of course, if I'm a Palestinian, I live on the other side of the border. To me, it's very difficult.
所以弟兄姊妹，我们不要把情绪跟那个政治立场陷入到这里面。
So we cannot have our emotion and our political thinking, you know, be all turmoil by these things.
对，我们要从神的眼光跟旨意来看整件事情。
We need to stand outside and look at it from God's will perspective.
对，然后所以刚才那个犹太人呢，他在家里面在朋友之间要讲希伯来语。
So remember that Ben Yehuda he wants to speak with his friends in Hebrew.
所以弟兄姊妹，我们不是只有在聚会里面才讲神的话。
So we don't only speak of the word of God in our meeting.
对，我们应该从我们个人开始，在我们的家中，在各个小组里面，我们有个渴慕要恢复神的话。
Not only by ourselves, but also in our family, in our small group, we want to restore God's word.
对，愿意在我们当中多有神的声音。
That amongst us, we will hear more and more God's voice.
对，减少世界上的观念，世界上的声音。
Minimize the perspective of the world and the voice of the world.
但愿我们都能够经历，不仅我们能够听见神向我们说话。
Not only can we hear God speaking to us.
然后也因为我们经历了神的话。
But because we have experienced God's word,
我们传递出去的时候呢，也可以带给弟兄姊妹们激励。
When we speak God's word, we can encourage brothers and sisters.
因为这是我自己个人所见证的道。
Because this is the word of my testimony.
我可以向人证明说，神的话语是真实可信的。
I can prove to other people that truly God's word is trustworthy.
神的话是立定在天，是大有功效。
It is forever sure in heaven, and it's very powerful.
所以我想，我今天其实讲了很多故事。
Today I really have mentioned a lot of stories.
但说到两个点。
But there are two important points.
第一个点就是我们。 在良心上面，一定要借着主耶稣的宝血维持一个清洁的良心。
That by the blood of the Lord, that I can maintain a good conscience.
然后另外就是我们要有一个爱慕，在生活当中能够经历什么叫做见证的道。
And that in our lives, that we can really experience the word of the testimony.
所以你会发现，这些是得胜者他们平常的生活。
We see that this is the daily living of the overcomers.
他们没有做什么特别大的事情。
They're not doing very special or big things.
然后他们维持这个稳固的那个属灵的根基。
But they maintain a very stable spiritual foundation.
所以他们得了一个得胜的秘诀。
And so they obtain the secret to overcoming.
好，我想我今天交通就到这里。
So I'll end my sharing here today.
我们一同有一点祷告。
Let us pray.
主啊，我们怀着感恩的心，主啊，谢谢你，不仅在你实实在在是在你的儿女当中做事。
Lord, we come with a very thankful heart. You truly are working amongst your people.
主啊，不仅是在你属地的子民，更是在你神家中属天的子民里。
Not only the people of the earth that you have, but also your spiritual people.
主啊，但愿我们越过越过越宝贵，看见你宝血的功效。
Lord, that we will, as we go along, we will see even more the preciousness of your blood.
也更加宝贵你的话语的真实可靠。
And really treasure your word and how it is so dependable.
主啊，但愿你引导我们，主啊，我们都能够找到得胜的秘诀。
Lord, may you lead us that we all will find the secret of overcoming.
祷告是奉主耶稣基督的名。
This we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen. 好，我们今天就到这里。